The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
To talk more, to end this week on practicing with thoughts and emotions, the relationship between them. And it's felt important to, as much as it's important to see that there's an intimate connection between how we think and our emotions, how we emote and our thinking, and that by seeing that connection, it's possible to find a degree of freedom. But more importantly, I don't know if it's more important, but another possibility is to, by knowing and seeing carefully the relationships, the entanglements, the influence of one emotion, emotions and thoughts, and thoughts and emotions. At some point, what becomes maybe strong is not the emotions and thinking, but the awareness of them. But to be aware, I think that thinking and emotions is often the place that people get hooked up, caught by, stuck in, reactive in, but also it's a very common place to somehow consciously or unconsciously to be defined by, to, oh, this is who I am. And some people feel it's very important to really be someone, like this is who I am, and take a stand there. And some people are very afraid of being someone, taking a stand. And there is a third option, and that is to calmly and peacefully be aware, be present, be grounded, be centered in the place where the light of awareness can shine, where we can turn on the awareness and see what's there, see the emotions, see the thoughts that we have, maybe even see some of the entanglements between them or our entanglements. Entanglements with them, but to be aware of it from a peaceful place. And that's one of the possibilities through meditation, is to become calmer than we usually are in daily life. And I say it carefully there, calmer, as opposed to some high standard of how calm we have to become. But to be calmer, more peaceful, more settled than we usually are, so that we have different eyes to see. We have a different way of looking upon the world. And as we get quieter and stiller, we're less caught in the world of thoughts, less caught in the world of emotions, even the ones that are beneficial, then the eyes can see with greater clarity. And we can see from a deeper place within, where we have contact to wisdom, to understanding, to perspectives, to attitudes that we're not going to have available when we're caught up in the thoughts, caught up in our emotions, caught up in defining ourselves by it, and thinking this is who I am. And to have that new perspective, and to then from there maybe think about our life. From there, see what emotional connection there might be. But it's the emotional connection that has a very different feel to it, very different attitude, very different effect, because we're not, doesn't come from the contraction of definition, doesn't come from the hooks of reactivity. It's as if that with, there's a wellspring or a spring within, a vast spring within, that of wisdom, of goodness, of freedom, of peace, that we can avail ourselves of to when we start, we are no longer so caught in the world of thinking and emotions. And that also allows us to think and have feelings from a very different perspective, because many of the feelings we have, many of the thoughts we can be very much rooted in definition and seeing this is who I am and this is about me, this is about me, myself, and mine. But the still, quiet place, the calm in the middle of the storm, is not you. It's not anyone else. But, and whether it's you or not, we don't have to think about those thoughts. We don't have to define ourselves by it. We don't have to grab a hold of it and feel like take a stand on it. This is who I am. And this freedom, this peacefulness, this calm in the middle of the storm is tremendously useful because it can allow a different kind of thinking that's not impatient, that's not reactive, that's not carrying with it as much of the judgments and biases and preconceived ideas that we might have in the surface mind that's been so conditioned and influenced by society and events. And the same thing with our emotions. So a still, quiet place within, a calm in the storm, the awareness that is like a light bulb, that when it's turned on, the light doesn't have preferences where the light lands. It lands on everything equally and just sees it. That's all. So I hope that this week on thinking and emotions has given you some new perspectives to really look at your life and look at yourself, understand yourself. That and certainly that's part of my hope was that you would to provide new perspectives that would be freeing, the new perspectives that would be useful to break out of old perspectives that maybe are not so helpful. So I hope it worked somewhat for that. And so thank you for this week. And then a couple of announcements. I'm going away next Thursday to teach back east in the East Coast at the Berry Center for Buddhist Studies. And I've become a little bit confused exactly about the substitutes coming to teach for me. And at some point in those 2 weeks, Matthew Brensilver will come. And since I'm leaving on Thursday, I might be able to be back the first days next week, and maybe Meg Galler will teach the end, or something else will happen. I'm not quite sure these next 2 weeks, so please just to be aware that there's a certain unknown. At some point, it'll be put in properly in the calendar, IMC calendar. And then a couple of things, announcements that maybe is a little bit relevant for some of you. Way back in the beginning of the year, we did this series on the Satipatthana Sutta, the discourse on the four foundations of mindfulness. And I was struck by how meaningful the instructions were on the different parts of the body, the 32 parts of the body, 31 parts of the body meditation that we did a little bit. And a friend of mine is one of the, Bob Stahl is one of the, or probably the biggest proponent of this meditation practice in our Buddhist scene. And does a lot of teaching of it, practiced it a lot, where it's kind of the 32 parts of the body, kind of a systematic way of connecting to the body in a very deep way. It's a very important practice in Theravadan Buddhism. So we invited him to come and do a class, but it's through the Sati Center. And so if you go Sati, S-A-T-I, sati.org, you can find his class there. I think it's maybe in September it starts. Maybe it's an 8-week class. And I think there's information about the Sati Center programs on the What's New section of IMC's website. And the other thing that's happening in the beginning of October is I do a year-long programs for people who have a fairly established practice, been practicing for some time. And I think you have to have 4 years of practice and a number of retreats, silent Vipassana retreats. But for those of you who have done that, you might be interested. It's 1 day a month for about 8-9 months. And this year, the topic is meditation. And the program is called Deepening Meditation Practice. And you can read a little bit more about it in, the What's New section of IMC's website, which is on the front page of IMC's website, the box on the bottom right. And there's applications for both programs. And so I think the applications for the Deepening Meditation Program is in September 1st. So thank you, everyone. And maybe I'll be here Monday, maybe not. And certainly look forward to our next time together.